Shabbat Tov Rabotai. We are studying the Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Zechuto Yagen Aleinu. Tonight we are learning chapter Kuf Yud Dalid, which is the 114th chapter. It's all the way at the end of the Sefer. It is the chapter that we are accustomed to be reading during our recitation of the Hallel. It is the chapter known as Beset Yisrael Mimisraim. The reason why I chose this chapter tonight is because since we're reading the Parashiyot that have to do with the splitting of the sea, Kiryat Yamsuf, and the Exodus, so I felt it a good correlation between the Parashat HaShavua and the Tehillim that we are going to study. The chapter begins, Beset Yisrael Mimisraim, Bet Yaakov, Me'am Lo'ez. When the Jewish people went out of Egypt, Beset Yisrael Mimisraim, Bet Yaakov, the family of Yaakov, Me'am Lo'ez, literally from an alien tongue. Lo'ez is Lo'azi. Lo'azi is somebody that speaks a foreign language. So they left a country that spoke an alien tongue. Our rabbis tell us that in the zechut of three things, the Jewish people merited to leave Egypt. Number one, shelo shinu et shemam. They did not change the Jewish names. Hence, beset Yisrael mimisraim. It was when Yisrael left Mitzrayim, which means they kept their Jewish names, Yisrael. Bet Yaakov, Me'am Lo'ez. The Hakamim tell us that the Jewish people also merited shelo shinu et leshonam. To the Jewish people, the Egyptian language was considered an Am Lo'ez. It was a nation of an alien tongue. That even though they lived there for 210 years, they still spoke and conversed in Lashon HaKodesh. It was indeed an Am Lo'ez. Some explain that when it says that the Jewish people did not learn from the Egyptians, it's a specific expression regarding the Jewish woman, Bet Yaakov Elu HaNashim. And since the Jewish woman, they stayed home and they did not mingle with the Egyptians, so therefore it refers to them that the Jewish woman remained pure, and to them Egypt was considered an Am Lo'ez. It was an alien culture. Hayita Yehuda lekodesho. Yehuda remained Kodesh. Yehuda is the tribe of Malchut. Our rabbis tell us that one of the reasons why we came out of Egypt is because Shehayu Gidurim Ba'arayot. The Jewish people remained pure and did not commingle with the Goyim. There was no assimilation. When a person is gadur min arayot, when a person is fenced in from promiscuity and illicit relationships, the Torah refers to that as kadosh. Kedoshim tiyu, Rashi says, pirushim tiyu min arayot. Therefore the Tehillim reads, Hayita Yehuda lekodesho. Yehuda remained kodesh. Kodesh meaning gidurim min arayot. They remained separate from promiscuous relation. And if Yehuda was the king, everybody obviously followed the lead of Yehuda, and therefore Am Yisrael was Gedurim as well. So in the first two Pesukim you see, Shelo shinu et shemam, Shelo shinu et leshonam, Me'am lo'ez, Vayu Gedurim min arayot. Hayita Yehuda lekodesho, the Mefarshim say the reason why Yehuda is singled out over here, as we all know the Gemara Sota, that when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, it was Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was from the tribe of Yehuda, that jumped into the Yamsuf first. And therefore he was the one that sanctified God's name. Once he got in up to his neck, or up to his mouth, he said, Hoshi'ini Elohim ki ba'u ma'im ad nafesh. Please God, I did as much as I can. When God saw the effort that came from the tribe of Yehuda, then already the sea split. Hence Yehuda gets an honorable mention here in the chapter. Because it was Yehuda that enabled the sea to split with his Mesirut Nefesh. Yisrael Mamshilotav, which literally means that the Jewish people now became under the dominion of God. Until Kiryat Yamsuf, the Jewish people were under the dominion of Par'o. But now, once the sea split, we are on our way to receive the Torah, Yisrael Mamshilotav. We became under the sovereignty of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It can also be explained, being that David HaMelech wrote the chapter, we know that the sovereignty comes from the tribe of Yehuda. And therefore it says, Ayida Yehuda Lekodsho, the tribe of Yehuda was singled out. What was it singled out for? Yisrael Mamshilotav, to be the sovereign ruler of Yisrael. Hence, Malchut Bet David. Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, Ayarden Yisov Le'achor. Literally it means the sea saw and fled, the Jordan turned backwards. Our rabbis learned that this pasuk is referring to two specific events in Jewish history. Kiryat Yamsuf in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Kiryat Yarden in the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, 40 years later. When the Jewish people got to Kiryat Yamsuf, so it says that the Yam Ra'ah, it saw something. The Gemara says, Ma Ra'ah, what did it see? So it says, Ra'ah Arono shel Yosef, it saw the coffin of Yosef. So the Gemara says, Yanus mipenei hanas. It says by Yosef that when he was being seduced by Eshet Potiphar, Vayanos achutza, he ran outside. And here it says, Hayam ra'ah vayanos, the sea saw and ran. It split. So it says, Yanus mipenei hanas, when the coffin of Yosef surfaced to the top of the waters, because his coffin was buried in the Yamsuf. When they were coming out, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take it out of its submergence, and therefore when the sea saw Aronos Yosef, Nas. The question is, how does the coffin of Yosef have an ability to split a sea? What's the depth? The simple explanation is, Yosef HaSadiq did something against his nature. A normal nature of a young man that's handsome, that's alone, that's being seduced day in and day out, yom yom, eventually the nature is going to give in and the person is going to succumb to his yetzer hara. The greatness of Yosef was he acted in a supernatural way. He broke his teva. So the waters, which also have a certain teva from the creation, that they're supposed to be a flowing body of water. But the Yam said, if Yosef, who's a human being, has the ability to go against his teva, so therefore the Yam said, we can also go against our teva, and even though by nature we're supposed to be a flowing body, we're going to separate. So the zechut of Yosef's strength, the ma'ala min ha-teva, had the ability to create a miracle in Yamsuf, which is also the ma'ala min ha-teva. But there's an interesting midrash pili'ah. The Midrash Pili'ah says like this, Hayam ra'a vayanos. Ma ra'a? Ra'a baraita shel Rabbi Yishmael. It saw the baraita of Rabbi Yishmael. Every morning in the prayers, we say, Rabbi Yishmael omer, b'shlosh esle midot, ha-Torah nedreshet, mekal v'chomer, megezerah shava. So the Yam saw this baraita. And that's it. And we're struggling now to figure out this midrash is indeed a midrash pili'ah. What is exactly it talking about? So I saw a beautiful explanation like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu got to the Kiryat Yamsuf, as we know, there was a whole discussion that the Yamsuf didn't want to split that fast. The Yamsuf already was a little hesitant if it should split for Moshe Rabbeinu. Until what? The Malach of the Yamsuf saw a future miracle that was going to take place by Yehoshua, who was the student of Moshe. 40 years later, Yehoshua would have the ability when the Jewish people are crossing the Jordan to split the Jordan River. So the Yam made a Kal Vachomer. And the Yam said, if for the student we're going to split, for the rabbi, local Sheken, so Hayav Ra'a Vayanos, Mara'a Baraita Rabbi Ishmael. And in the bright of Rabbi Ishmael with Doresh Kal Vachomer. So it made a Kal Vachomer. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. What did the Yam see? Hayarden Yisov Le'achor. The Yam saw that in the future, Hayarden Yisov Le'achor. And therefore it was Doresh Kal Vachomer and said, if we're going to be obedient to the Talmid, we have to be just as obedient to the Rav as well. Hearim rakedu ke'elim, Gebaot kebnetzon. At that time, it was a cataclysmic event. The whole world was shaking. The pasuk says the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like young lambs, which means the whole world was trembling. And the pasuk says, as if Moshe Rabbeinu, or the one that's writing the Tehillim, says, Malecha hayam kitanus. Yam, where are you running? It looked like the Yam Suf was scared of something. Was running. Hayarden tisov le'achor. Yarden, who are you scared of? Why were you backtracking? And then the psalmist turns to the mountains. Hearim tirkedu ke'elim. Why were you mountains skipping like rams? Gibaot kibneson. Why were the hills shaking and skipping like lambs? And all of them answer the same answer. Milifne Adon Holi Ares, Milifne Eloa Yaakov. You know why? Because we were in the presence of the God that was Huli Aris. Huli comes from the word V'techolel Aris, the one that created the world. Which means, at the time of Kiryat Yam Suf, there was a great revelation of Shekhinah that came down to the world, more than any other time, besides Kiryat Yam, besides Matan Torah. And at that moment, the world felt that it was very near the presence of the Shekhinah, so everybody was running. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. Later on in history, Hayarden, Yisov Lachor, Hayarim Rakedu, Tirkedu Chelim, everybody was shaking. In front of who? In front of Adon Choli Aris. In front of the God that created the world. Menefnei Eloa Yaakov. And then the chapter ends, Haofichi Hasur Agam Mayim, Halamish Lemayin Omayim. God is the one who turns the rock into water. Halamish, the flint, lemayin or mayim, into a flowing fountain. This is the pasuk I want to talk about tonight. When I read this pasuk, immediately I become perplexed. God turns the rock into water. That obviously is not talking about Kiryat Yam Suf. Kiryat Yam Suf is a different miracle. That's the water turning into a rock, or the water turning into dry land. What does David HaMelech mean? You're the one that turned the rock into water. Ha'ofechi, wa'ofech, hasur. The Mefarshim say this is a reference to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he were in the Midbar and the Jewish people needed water. And you had the rock. So Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. And eventually water came out of the rock. So David HaMelech says, oh, ha'ofchi asur agamayim. God has the ability, like we saw in Moshe, to bring water out of the rock. Halamish lemayin omayim, that's the well of Miriam. That was a flowing spring out of the flint. But why here? This is the Beset Yisrael Mitzrayim chapter. This is the chapter that's dedicated to Kiryat Yam Suf. From where now are you reminding me of an episode which is equally miraculous? but it's not to the subject. This is the she'ela we're asking. So in order to understand it, Mesi'atel Shmaya will start like this. If you look in the Torah in Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam, Vayashuv hayam lifnot boker le'etano. When Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hand on Yam Suf, before he split it, it says, and the water went le'etano. Le'etano, meaning it went back to its strength, to its raging force. Umisraim nasim lekrato. And then Misraim ran into the waters and they drowned. The Midrash writes, and the Gemara Sota as well, don't read the word le'etano, ela read it le'tina'o. Tnai hitna kadosh baruch hu imayam b'shishit shemim ma'aseh b'rishit. That God made a condition already from the beginning of time when He created the waters that there's going to come a time when I need you to split. And therefore it was programmed already in the Biriyah. There was a tnai le'etano, le'tina'o harishon. That God already told the Yam when He created it in the year 2448, on the Shivi'ish of Pesach, when the Jewish people get to the foot of the water, you're going to have to split. The same God that tells you to be a river is telling you to split. Good. So already, Kriyat Yam Suf is already all the way back already. We knew what's going to happen. They once asked the Gaon de Vilna, every Midrash has its source in a pasuk in the Torah. The rabbis didn't just make up midrashim. Etano, tena'o. So they asked the Gaon, where is it in the Torah alluded this midrash? So he said, it's actually a pasuk in the Sefer Bereshit. Vayomer Elohim, yikavu amayim mitachat hashamayim el makom echad, v'terae hayabasha. The simple interpretation is when God created the water, initially the water was over the face of the whole entire earth. There was no land. The land mass was being covered. So God instructed the water, Yikavu amayim, let the waters gather, mitachat hashamayim, the waters that are below the firmament, el makom echad, gather in one place, i.e. the oceans, v'tira'e hayabasha, and let the Yabasha now be seen in the rest of the world. But the Gaon explained, no. The way the Midrash is understanding this pasuk is Yikavu amayim mitachat hashamayim el makom echad, and in the place where the water is gathering, v'tira'e hayabasha. Let the Yabasha be evident where the Yikavu amayim is. So that's already an illusion that God already was telling the water. There's going to come a time in history that in your Yikavu there's going to be the Tera'a Yabasha. And that's what it meant. Le'etano, the Tera'o Harishon. But if we start to analyze it for a moment, and the Mefarshim, as I'll show you in a minute, and the Mefarshim Torah are dealing with this problem over here. The problem is like this. We don't have any pictures of Kiryat Yam Suf, so we don't know exactly how it happened, but we can hypothesize, just according to human understanding, the problems that we have. Let's assume Vayibaki'u, that the sea split, as we always understood it. That means the bed of the ocean turned into dry land, and the Jewish people halichu biyabasha. But that's very deep. Which means, if they're standing on land, and then all of a sudden the sea splits, they have to walk miles all the way down to the bottom of the water in order to hit the ground. That's almost an impossibility How are you going to get the nation to walk so deep into the water, into the ground? So, Stam, how did it happen? Well, they had a leap, they had to jump, there was an incline. Furthermore, we have a problem, because the Pasuk says, Kafe'u tehomot belev yam, which is mashma, that at the bottom of the ocean, of the Yam Suf, it was ice. Kafe'u is melashon kipa'on. Kipa'on is ice. So it wasn't yabasha on the bottom. Kafe'u teomot belev yam. So where was the yabasha then? The problems we have over here. The Haskuni asks this question, and the Tosafot asks this question as well. I'm going to show you what the Tosafot answers. Listen to an interesting Tosafot that I found. Kafe'u teomot belev yam. Da'at zekenim about Tosafot. On that pasuk, kafe'u teomot belev yam. Hasheni shelishim shelemata kafe'u. Vashilishi shelmala nifka. So it says a blockbuster hadushia. Only the top third of the water split and turned into yabasha, whereas the bottom two thirds turned into ice. There was a double miracle taking place over here. Tosfot explains this because he has a problem. He says, "She'ilu nivka lemata ad tehom," because if, like we said, if the sea would have split all the way to the bottom, lo ayu yecholim latzet mimenu, they would never be able to go. They would be all the way to the bottom of the water. How are they going to get out? They're going to have to climb up a mountain when they're going to get out. And Tosafot's also bothered, because the Gemara Shabbat writes, "Haygudcha tiltahave." The sea, the top of the sea, is one third higher than the earth. The top of the water is a third higher than the level of the earth. So it would be a problem if the whole ocean would have turned into, let's say, ice. The Jewish people would have to climb up a third on an incline in order to get to the same level. So therefore, in order to make it easy for them, the first third split and came down to the level of the land. And there was a chomami minamu misimolam, the water opened up, and therefore the level of the water dropped to land level, so they were able to walk straight. Again, had the whole waters turned into kipa'on, then the Jewish people would have to walk up a third, which would have been a tidha. Tosafot is medayek this, and he says, "Behainu dichtiv, kafe'u teomot belev yam." Why does it say lev yam? Shehalev natun begufa adam yesh shne shlishim lemata mimenu veshlish lemala mimenu. Which means if you take the lev of a person, above the lev is the third of a person, and below the lev is two thirds. Hence when the pasuk says kafe'u teomot belev yam, lev yam means, yeah, from the lev and down. Two-thirds kipa'on, one-third on top, split, and you had yabasha, you had land over there, and it happened in that way, so it would be easy for the Jewish people to walk. That being said, just as a derasha to make Moshe Shabbat a little more pleasurable, we'll say a derasha on this before we go further. This is Gemara Baba Kama Daftet. Gemara says, "Hidur mitzvah ad shlish mitzvah." What does it mean? A person's going to do a mitzvah, he should not only do the mitzvah in a simple way, in an ordinary way, you should do the mitzvah in a beautifying way. That's called hidur. Don't just buy any old etrog. Buy an etrog that's mehudar. That's nice. So the Gemara is discussing, how much do you have to spend for hidur? So Gemara says, ad shlish. You don't have to spend more than a third of what the actual etrog cost. If you spent for an etrog that cost 6, so you can spend for hidur 2. So pay 8. But if they tell you, oh, you want hidur, it's going to cost you 20, you don't got to go that far. Hidur mitzvah ad shlish. So the Gemara says, where do you know this from? They have to spend money for hidur mitzvah. Shneemar ze eli ve'anvehu. A pasuk that's in the Az Yashir, that the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, they said, ze eli ve'anvehu. This is my God and I will beautify him. So the Gemara says, hitna'e lefanav b'mitzvot. Ask a question. He had no better place to learn hidur mitzvah ad shlish from Zeh Eliva and Vifur Kiryat Yam Suf. There has to be a connection between hidur mitzvah teach, which means that teaches me this is my God and I will beautify him. But where do you learn ad shlish? Where do you learn the ratio of ad shlish mitzvah? That Zeh Eliva and Vifur doesn't teach you. That just teaches you do the mitzvah in a nice way. Sefer Torah na'ah, Sesit na'ah, Tefillin na'ah. But based on this Tosafot that we're just learning, we understand that Gemara came in Chomer. Because Borei Olam, when he came out of Mitzrayim, he could have made the whole Yam Suf Kippa'on, ice. But then what? It would have been difficult for the Jewish people. They would have to walk a third up the mountain. Because we know the water is a third higher than the earth. So Borei Olam wanted to make it more pleasurable for the Jewish people to make the walk a flat walk instead of having to walk up on an incline. So what did he do? The splitting of the sea was done in a mehudar way. What was the mehudar way? The first third he split into water where there was yabasha, which now it was parallel to the land when they were walking, and the rest of the two-thirds was kippa'on for the Egyptians. And therefore, hidur mitzvah ad shlish. Because you see, Borei Olam, in order that the Kiryat Yam Suf should be done in the most easy way, he divided it in a third and two-thirds, in order that it would be a smooth walk for Klal Yisrael. So from there the Gemara learned, hidur mitzvah ad shlish, because Borei Olam did the same thing. Zeh eli ve'anvehu, I'm following God. God also made a hidur ad shlish. Therefore, we do the same thing when it comes to our mitzvot. Good. But now we continue. We didn't answer our question yet. We didn't get close to answering our question yet. We know in the creation there are four elements. Ish, Ruach, Mayim, Afar. Everything in the world has these four elements in them simultaneously. Otherwise it cannot exist. Fire, wind, water, and dirt. Afar, dust. These are the four ingredients of all of creation. Again, without these four ingredients, it would not have an existence. That's the protoplasm of all creation, the four elements. When you look at, let's say, this table, the table has to have in it all the four elements. Now you might say to yourself, well, I see a table in front of me, where's the ash in here? There's fire in here? So the fire is in here, but it's a small minority position. Therefore, the other elements, let's say the afar, overpowers it, that you don't see the ish in it, but the ish is there. You're going to ask me, how is it possible that two opposing elements can be together? If there's ish in here, the ish should burn the table. But since all the elements are created to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the elements know their purpose, and they know in a table, if the ish is going to be strong, then people are not going to be able to have tables. So the ish humbles itself and remains in a weak position just to keep the table in existence, and lets the other forces be the dominant force. This is not me saying, this is the Kadosh, the Tzaddik from Aptal and the Hasidim said this. This is the way it works. All the elements are there at all times. It's just that the dominant element manifests itself, and the others remain dormant, and they're able to coexist even if they're reverse elements. That means in the water there's the koach of ish also. A douche. How could it be? And in the ish there's the koach of mayim. They're all there at all times. But the koach of the water that's in the ish will not put out the ish, because it knows that this is ish. And I'm here as a weak position, and it humbles itself in front of the Creator, because God wants fire, and therefore it doesn't dominate. But, for example, when it's the will of God that the water in the fire appears, you'll have a makkah in Mitzrayim called makkat barad, where the fire and water coexist and they're together and they're just as strong, and you see both of them. The makkat barad was not two separate forces. It's as if Borei Olam took the fire that was in the barad, and now it told the fire, you can come out. You don't have to remain sleeping in there. Come out also, and you can be have a party together. That's the way it works. Yeah, you following so far? With this, he writes as follows. The tzaddikim, they're able to make supernatural miracles. How? The mashal, he specifically was talking about Moshe Rabbeinu bringing water out of a rock. The Chaura, there's no water in the rock. But now we know better. There is water in the rock. All the four elements are in the rock. You just can't see the water, because the water is the minority position. And therefore it humbles itself and allows the rock to remain a rock. But if somebody's able to tap into the water, should be rock, then the water will start coming out and it'll overpower the rock. Says the tzaddik from Apta, how do you tap into that? When it's tzaddik who's very humble, who's bechinat ayin, ayin means he has no ego, he's non-existent. When he appears in front of the rock, so then the whole reason why the rock is a rock is because the water is fulfilling its position, because it doesn't want to overpower the rock, because Morella wants to be a rock. But when the tzaddik stands in front of the rock and tells the rock, listen, we need water, you need to humble yourself now and let the water take over. You can't be a rock now. You have to make yourself invisible, So the rock will say, who are you to tell me to make myself invisible? So the tzaddik says, because I made myself invisible. And therefore, what the koach of ayin should be, that's in me, I have a right to tell you also to be loving. Otherwise, the rock can say, hey, practice what you preach. You're a big talker. Duh. So when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go bring water out of the rock, it's dafka Moshe, because he has that koach. Regarding Moshe, it says, v'nachnu ma. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm nothing. Also, the one that's nothing has a koach to go to the rock and tell the rock, be nothing, and let the mayim shebecha, let the water that's in you come out. I'm not going to explain to you tonight why Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. It's for a different shi'ud. I'm just explaining you tonight the mechanics, how it worked. Because we always wondered, what do you mean, water from a rock? Nah, I'll tell you a secret. There's always water in the rock. There's always water in every rock. You don't see the water because the water knows its position. But if you have a tzaddik that can tell a rock, don't be a rock anymore, let the water come out, then the water will go crazy. You'll have a mayan. Yeah? We continue. There's a famous Ramban. Again, I say these Rambans over with a very, sense of insignificance, because we really don't understand these Rambans exactly. The Rambans in the book of Bereshit, specifically in Sefer Bereshit, Parashat Bereshit, are off the charts. They're borderline Kabbalah, what he's writing in those Parashiyot. Very hard to make sense, especially in the first Pasuk. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve et ha-aris. On the first day, God created shamayim and aris. Shamayim and all the stars and the sun and the moon. Aris and all the creatures on the aris. The Ramban has an obvious question. What do you mean? Those weren't created till a few days later. How do you tell me that in the beginning of the creation, all these things were there? So he goes and starts to talk about something that he refers to as koach hayuli. Okay, that's a Greek terminology, which the way we understand it is, in the beginning of the creation, there was just a ball of potential, of protoplasm, called the koach hayuli. The koach hayuli that the Ramban refers to is like what the Torah means is tohu vavohu. It's the roots of the creation. From there, all the creation is in the ingredients of that yuli, but it doesn't have a form yet. But later on during the creation, God took from this koach hayuli that he created and then formed it into a physical aris and physical shamayim with stars and so on. So Bereshit Barai Elohim et ha-shamayim ve et ha-aris is just the molecules in the beginning. It's just the raw product. Almost as if like you go into a laboratory and you see a bunch of chemicals. And then all of a sudden, you go next door and they show you a crystal of salt. Oh, they say, you saw that sodium chloride before? We played around with it and we got your piece of salt. Similarly, the koach hayuli is the root. That from that root comes the whole entire creation. They haven't found yet in the laboratory a root of a star. They haven't found the root of a sun or the root of the earth. That was the koach hayuli that the Ramban's talking. So on day one, you had all the periodic table of elements, but a periodic table or a chart that we don't have. Elements that are able to create an olam. And in the rest of the days, from that came out the structure or the form that we're talking about. Oh. So the Mefashim explained like this. Isn't an interesting yesod over here? And in that Koach HaYuli, obviously, is the four yesodot: Afar, Mayim, Ish, and Ruach. A tzaddik Let me go slow. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The world was created, as we know, Yesh Me'ayin. Something from nothing. The way that Ramban is understanding this something from nothing, the Ayin is this Koach HaYuli. It's not totally nothing, but it's nothing in the sense that it's not formed yet. If I put a splattering of water on the floor, and I say, create a house from this, you'd say, wow, you created a house from nothing. What was there? So the Yesh Me'ayin means that originally the world had this ayinness, this nothingness, this yuli, tovavo. And from that, all of a sudden, wow, so the potential, the chromosomes, the DNA, whatever you want to say, the genetic structure that was in this Koach HaYuli came out of a phenomenal world. Who would believe it? Yesh Me'ayin. The tzaddikim is the key. Their power to change the bidiyah is when they stand in front of something, they themselves have Koach HaAyin, because they are humble. They have nothingness. They are insignificant in their attitude. They have a tremendous ayin. So they have an ability to turn the item back to its root of ayin. And they can recreate it any way they want. Hence, now it looks like a rock. But if I can go back to the Koach HaYuli Shebo and bring it back to its original form when it was in the beginning, the rock was just... So I could play with it any way I want now. So the Koach HaAyin in the Tzaddik is Hofech the Biriyah back to Ayin. And once you're ready to get back to Ayin, instead of making it Afar, I want to make it into Ish. Or into Ish, I want to make it to Mayim. I can change the direction in any way I want. That's the mechanics. How the Tzaddik is able to do such a thing. That being said, we go back to our story of Kiryat Yamsuf. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's standing in front of the Yamsuf, Harem et Matecha. I saw Mefashim bring down, Matecha means stick. Yeah? But Matecha also comes from the word Mata. What does Mata mean? Lowliness. Lemata. God tells Moshe, you need now to turn this yam into yabasha. Where's the yabasha over here? Because in the water there's also earth. All the elements of creation has everything. It's just the earth is dormant. Because the earth knows it's not supposed to be earth. This is not my body. This is the yam's body. But somebody that has Koach HaAyin, like Moshe Rabbeinu, can come to the yam and tell the yam, please, humble yourself and let the earth, Shebecha, come out. Hence God tells Moshe, Harem et Matecha. Here you're going to have to bring your Koach of Mata, your loneliness, your anava, the Koach HaAyin, stand in front of the water, and only you could do that. You got to tell the water to humble itself like you. And then the Yabasha will come out,
V'tira'ayabasha. Nobody else can do such a thing. And if you look at the Targum Unkilus, very, very telling Targum over here, in Perek Tedvav Pasuk Het, Ubruach Apecha Ne'er Mumayim, Ruach Apecha, the Spirit of God, Ne'er Mumayim, the waters separated or collected. Rashi, Ubememar Pumach Hakimu Maya. Interesting. Hakimu Maya. Hakimu Melashon Chokhmah. There was a certain Chokhmah. The waters were affected by some Hakimu. Tamir Hakam is a Hakam, a rabbi, a scholar. What does it mean, Hakimu Maya? So the Mefarshim explain, the word Chokhmah is what? Chokhmah is an abbreviation of Koach Ma. What is Koach Ma? When a person is Ma, v'nachnu Ma, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm nothing. Ma ani, ma hayai. So that Koach of Ma that Moshe Rabbeinu had, so when he stood in front of the Yam Suf, with Chokhmah, with Kawahmah, meaning his nothingness, is insignificant, that already was able, his Ayin turned the Yamsuf back into Ayin, and once you turned it back into the original root that it was, so now it's easy to turn from a Yamsuf into a Yabasha. Once already we understand this concept, we understood what David HaMelech is telling us over here. My question to you in the beginning of the shul was, David, what are you talking about, the hitting of the rock of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's got nothing to do with our chapter. You ended the chapter of Kiryat Yam Suf, Ha'ofchi Asur Agamayim, Halamish Lemayin Omayim. That God, you have the ability to switch. You make from an agam, you make from a tzur mayim. Tzur mayim. But now we understand exactly. That's the binyan av. That's where we started to understand this whole concept. That just like we saw in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to tap into the water shebarak. Why? Because of his koach of anaba, v'nachnuma. So that's the same mechanics that took place, which means, you want to say that Yam Suf happened? Go learn another parasha of the Torah. Because you're going to ask me, where's the Yabasha in the Mayim? And don't tell me, no, the Yabasha means the bottom, because we said that two-thirds was ice. So it's not talking about the bed of the ocean. So where did this karka all of a sudden come from? Where did this yabasha surface? One third split, but where's the yabasha? Ah, you want to know where the yabasha is? Go study over there the parasha of the hitting of the rock. And you ask yourself the same question. Where was the water? How does water come out of the rock? Ah, now you know. There's yisodot in the rock as well. Ah, but not everybody can tap it out. Moshe Rabbeinu bechokhmah, bekoachmah, is able to bring it out. Similarly, at Emet Matecha, go to the Yam Suf, lower yourself with the koach of the anava, and you'll be able to let the water be a little less presence, and you let the yabasha shebiyam come out. And that's what it means. In the pasuk, v'achokhmah me'ayin temaseh, which means v'achokhmah koach ma. This koach, this tremendous koach of ma, that's able to change the b'riyah. It's able to revert the b'riyah back to its original form, who has this koach? Le'ayin
timatzeh.
From those people that are ayin. A person that himself is ayin, is humble, is invisible. So you can already create yesh me'ayin yourself. You're able to go back to the yesh me'ayin. That's the koach chokhmah that we're talking about. That's what the targum meant. Ubruach apecha hakimu maya. Through the koach of the ma. The ma'aseh, what does this mean for us? Well, you know, it's like we're giving a shiur on how to be a ba'al mufid. We're not going to put it into practice, but it just teaches us, when I put it in my pocket from this, all this strength came from where? The koach anava. Once a person has this midah of humility, that's where the kohot come from. With his ga'ava, who are you to tell the creation to change? Who are you to tell somebody what to do over there? You're telling me to be nothing? You're not nothing. And that's the koach Moshe Rabbeinu. His koach came from, not because of chas v'shalom magicry or sorcery or witchcraft. The kohot come from something that's within, from midot. Once already the midot are perfected, when a person has the right midot, then already the world was created to serve him. Then already the world is the play-doh of the tzaddik, where the tzaddik can just take the world and fashion it and model it and change it and form it as he wishes. That's the koach of the tzaddik. The tzaddik has to work on himself for many years before the world is willing to subjugate himself to the tzaddik. Just doesn't happen because he's a couple of years he learns Torah. It has to be a tremendous working on the tzaddik's inside to reach the highest levels of anava. Anybody studied the Mesilat Yesharim by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Nutzato, where he's giving you the path of life in order to reach the highest levels, you'll notice in the Sefer that all the way at the end of the book, right towards the end of the last chapters, there he talks about humility. But it seems that humility already is on the top of the mountain. When we would think, yeah, humility, okay, the main thing is something. No, that's the highest levels in Yahadut. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach those highest levels of Anava, and therefore he was able to make the miracles. Then the Kiryat Yam Suf, and then the Ha'ofchi Asura Gamayim Halamish Lema'ala Rabbi Ratzon. The zechut that we try to understand better the mechanics and the understanding of the connection of the Pesukim of David and Melech. Zechuto, and Hashem, now we're going to have Merav Malkah. Now is the time of Seudat of Yait. It's the time of David and Melech, Alav Shalom. We'll light a candle now, the Zechen Shmato. Yiratzon, Zechut David and Melech, Yagen Ba'adenu. And Bezat Hashem, soon in our time, he will be revealing himself. Tegale v'terae Malchuto. His Malchut will be revealed to us. And then Bezat Hashem, as it said, Kimeset Echam Eretz Mitzrayim Al'enu Niflaot. These miracles that we read about tonight are only a drop in the bucket compared to the miracles that are going to take place in the Geulah in our time. Amen.